You know, I'm not so sure that it's possible to exhaust the subject of faith. A lot of sermons have been preached and a lot of series have been taught about faith. And some of them have been good and some of them, well, let's just say they needed a little tweaking. Hallelujah. But we're going to look at this whole thing of faith tonight, just real briefly. I was praying about the message. And the Lord reminded me of a story in the Old Testament. And I went back and actually I had to search around for it till I found it. It could have been a long time since I'd read this. Well, I found it and I read it. And as I read it, I began to see what he was showing me. So what we're going to do is start in the New Testament and look at four different verses relative to faith, verses that we're all familiar with. So let's start in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And in verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed," and it's talking about the gospel. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Well, you know, we've heard this and quoted from it and used it in a lot of our teachings and when we share with each other, you know, the just shall live by faith. Well, we're just because we've been justified through salvation. When we accepted Jesus Christ, He was our justification and made us just. So where it says the just shall live by faith, then that's talking about us. We're the ones that are just. We've been justified. We're supposed to be living by faith. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 11. Here's another faith verse, if you will. In verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him," speaking of God, "for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, this really is a powerful verse. We've already learned that the just shall live by faith, and here we see that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it goes on to explain how that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if we diligently seek, let's put it like this, if you're not getting the rewards, then what's that say about your seeking? Maybe we're not seeking Him as diligently as what we ought to if these blessings and the promises aren't manifesting. Because it says right here that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But right at the beginning it says without faith it's impossible to please Him. So the just shall live by faith. If we're living by faith, we're pleasing in His sight. If we're not living by faith, then obviously we're not pleasing in His sight. Look at another verse, Ephesians chapter 6. Taught on this one here not too long ago. Not going to reteach it, just going to mention this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked," or the wicked one, talking about the enemy, Satan. So it says right here, if you take the shield of faith, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. Now, I have a sermon entitled Quenching the Fiery Darts. It explains what the fiery darts are. We're not going to go into that, but let's just say it this way. It doesn't matter what the fiery darts are. It doesn't matter. If you have the shield of faith, you will be able to quench all of them. No exception. You'll be able to quench all of them. So the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And right here, it says that we're supposed to be taking the shield of faith so we can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. One more verse. Turn back over to Romans chapter 10. And see, some of these verses, you know, a lot of people could quote them because we've had so much teaching on faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So the just are supposed to live by faith. Now, if the just are supposed to live by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then that means the just are supposed to be living by what? The word of God. Well, this is what Jesus said when He was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God." So the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So now if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then that means that As long as I'm hearing and hearing by the word of God, faith is coming. You see this? As long as I'm hearing and hearing by the word of God, faith is coming, which means the building material for my shield of faith is being accumulated in me. And the more that faith comes by the word of God, the more I'll begin to live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There have been a lot of times where I have taught on a subject, and some people have kind of, well, they don't want to say I'm wrong, but it kind of causes them, you know, like to tilt, and they're not really sure whether they want to accept it or not. Well, I've never heard it like that before. Boy, I'm not so sure about that. I'm going to have to study that out more. That's what I want to hear. I don't want them to walk away and not study something they're not sure about. I study it out. Well, on occasion, I've had people come back to me and share something along the lines of this. You know, when you were teaching about, you know, such and such, well, yeah. You know, I wasn't so sure about that. And I went back and I did what you said. I studied those scriptures that you use, and I'm reading them, and I'm seeing the setting and the context and so on and so forth. And boy, I'm telling you, the Lord began to show me this. I began to see exactly what you were talking about. And I'm thinking, hallelujah, praise God, this is wonderful. Well, what's happened? Faith's come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's not simply a matter that I preached it, but it's a matter of they got into the word. When you read something, let me say it like this. When you read something, it's like you're hearing it internally. You know what I'm talking about. And so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So therefore, the more that I'm hearing the word of God, the more faith is coming. The more faith comes, the more I have the building material for my shield. And the more that I have this shield and I'm using it, I'm quenching all the fiery darts of the enemy. I'm also living by the thing I'm supposed to live by, which is faith. And I'm pleasing to God. All of these things. So therefore, you can't lose. You see this? But now let me show you something. Let me show you what the Lord took me to. Turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. And begin reading here in verse 1. And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom, that he had strengthened himself. And look at this. It says, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Now stop right there for just a moment. Here not too long ago, I shared a message with you entitled Generations of Lies. In that sermon, what I showed you was that when you read a passage like this where it says, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him, it doesn't mean that they turned their back and said, there is no Jehovah. What it means is they corrupted the law of God and they began introducing all these other gods and all these other pagan practices. And if you had asked them, do you still believe in Jehovah God? They would have said, yeah. If you had asked them, do you still believe in the God that delivered Israel out of Egypt? They would have said, absolutely. And if you'd asked them, well, do you still believe in the law of Moses? They would have said, you better believe we do, and we don't put up with blasphemy of that law either. And yet they were living the blasphemy. That's what this is talking about. It isn't saying that they completely rejected God from the perspective of saying he no longer exists. It means they just completely corrupted everything about their belief system, if you will. And so it says here that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. Okay, now what's that telling you? It's saying this. They forsook God and it opened the door for this attack. You see it? Now, if they had not forsaken God, this attack wouldn't have come. And I can tell you right now, the same thing existed back then that exists today. Here's what I mean. This attack comes, and you would have had people in Israel saying, I don't understand it. I thought God was supposed to be our protector. God was supposed to be our provider. I don't understand this. How can God just sit back and let this happen? And God's up in heaven saying, excuse me, You guys have completely turned your back on the very foundation that I established for you, and because of that, you've opened the door for this attack. So let's go on. He says, here, talking about this attack, with verse 3, with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen. And man, I sat there and I'm doing the math. It's like, okay, 1,200 chariots and, you know, 60,000 horsemen. I mean, this is a lot of people. And the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubims, the Sukims, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they had humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Now look in verse 9. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all, now look at this, he carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Instead of which, King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance to the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again to the guard chamber. So here's what's happened. The attack comes. And they go in to the house of God. And they take everything. And what's interesting, that I mean, it's like to me, this really jumps out. It says, he took the treasures of the house of the Lord. Well, okay, well, what's that? And he took the treasures of the king's house. Well, okay, well, what's that? So it's kind of vague in those two areas. But he identifies specifically this thing about the shields. Do you see that? And I'm thinking, well, what's the big deal about the shields? I mean, what are the treasures of the Lord's house? What are the treasures of the king's house? I mean, oh, the shields, what of it? There's a message in this. And some of you, I'm sure, are catching on here. And so what he did to try to replace these shields, the shields of gold were taken by the enemy. So in their place, what he did was commission his workers to make replicas of the shields of gold, only these were shields of brass. Now, if you take brass is a compound, but if you take brass in its purest as possible form and you polish it, it's going to look like gold. And what they did, they took these shields of brass and they put them over here in the closet. And they only brought them out when there was a special event. In other words, they kept them hidden from people so people wouldn't find out. And they only let the people see them when there was a special event and the king would come out and they'd stand there and they'd polish them up, you know, and everybody would look at it. And if you didn't know better, you would think they still have the shields of gold, when in reality, they were shields of brass. They had a shine to them that in the noonday sun would put your eyes out. They had weight to them that would clang if you bumped them up against something. They had all of the design, all of the structure, all of the everything that the shields of gold had. So when somebody would look at that guard standing there with his shield, they think, man, those are beautiful shields. You know, the enemy came in here and took everything else, but boy, at least he didn't get the shields of gold. But these guys knew the truth. They knew they weren't shields of gold, they were shields of brass. They looked the real thing, they impressed people, they reflected light like the real thing, but in reality, they were just an image of the genuine. You see this? Now, I'm reading this, and it's the passages that we read earlier about faith begin to jump out to me. How that God, there's a message here in this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the Bible says in Ephesians that we're supposed to take the shield of faith so we can quench all the fiery darts or the attacks of the enemy. But what if our shield isn't real? What if we are told it's real? What if it shines like the real? What if it's got all the stampings and the impressions like the real? What if it clangs and sounds real when I'm around it and I hear it? Are you seeing what I'm saying here? What if it gives the impression of being real? Is it still the right shield? Absolutely not. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me rephrase it. The shield of faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're not hearing the Word of God, guess what? You're not developing your shield of faith. You see this? Now, let me take this a little bit further and show you some things. Look in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. This is another passage we're very familiar with. And it says, well, just two verses here, verse 14. It says, the sower sows the word. Okay, now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So the sower sows the word. So now as the sower is sowing the word, what's happening? Well, faith is coming. However, look at this. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, let me rephrase this. Shishak comes in from Egypt. Remember what happened back there in 2 Chronicles? Satan comes immediately, and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, he comes immediately for what purpose? To take the treasures of the Lord out of your storehouse. See this? Your faith storehouse. He comes immediately to take them. Now, there's a whole list of things here that identify, you know, how Satan attacks and so on and so forth. But I want to show you something. How this can be so subtle. How Satan can come immediately and steal the word. Look in chapter 7. And this right here, I am convinced, is one of the primary ways that Satan steals the word from people. In Mark chapter 7, verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, why walk not thy disciples according to the, now what's that next word? Tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it's written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Look in verse 13. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Okay, now what's happening? Who are these guys that are criticizing Jesus and coming at him? The religious leaders, are they not? The preachers, the teachers. The ones that stand up, now, they've taught the people, God expects them to eat, to wash their hands before they eat their bread. This is what they have taught the people. And they haven't said, thus saith the Pharisee. They have said, this is what the Lord expects. Because what they've done is they've taken the traditions and they've mixed them in with the Word of God. Okay? Now, remember I shared with you that brass is a compound? It's a compound of two elements. You take the Word of God and you mix it with the traditions. And you know what you're doing? You're rendering the Word of God of none effect. What does that mean? That means if I sit in the pew and I listen to the preachers stand up and deliver to me traditions or traditional explanations of the Word of God as they read it and teach it to me, then what I'll do is I'll sit there and I'll listen to it, They stand up and they read the word. See this? They read it to me. But then they turn right around and they tell me what it means according to their traditions, not according to the truth. Perfect example, Luke 6:38. Give, it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give unto your bosom. And so what I do is I take Luke 6:38 out of that entire chapter. I deliver that verse to you along with another verse here and another verse there. And then I tell you that you have to give if you expect Philippians 4:19, God to meet all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I tell you, you have to give if you want men to give into your bosom. And then I get the offering plate and I pass it so you'll give. You see this? Well, what have I done? When I read Luke 6:38 to you, I'm reading the Word of God. But I render it of none effect when I tell you that is a verse for this offering in this service. And I tell you this is how you prosper. And I tell you this is how you gain and how you increase. So I'm rendering the Word of God of none effect. Now, what have you done? You heard the Word, did you not? But Shishak has come in and stolen the precious treasures. In other words, Satan, through the mouthpiece of the preacher who's trying to help, but doesn't realize that he's teaching something incorrectly, Satan is able to render the Word, or to steal the Word of God, and the tradition makes it of none effect. So, now listen. You walk out of the service having given in the offering, thinking that you're applying Luke 6:38. Now listen, thinking that you are living by every word that has proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, you think you're living by that. In your mind, you think you're living by faith. In your mind, you think you're pleasing unto God. In your mind, you think you're raising up the shield of faith so that the fiery darts of poverty can't strike your life. You understand what I'm saying? When in reality, you don't have a shield that can protect you. It's not a shield of gold, it's a shield of brass. You see this? And so what happens is, we listen to all kinds of teachings, and we come away from it because they used the Bible and they opened the Bible and they read it to us. And so we start applying those teachings, those traditions that have been mixed with the Word of God, but they're rendering the Word of God of none effect, but we don't know that. And so here we are. We think that faith is coming. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. And it's not coming. It's not. It's being rendered of none effect. And we think, you know, that we're being pleasing unto God and that here we are. We've been justified by the blood of Jesus and praise God. Now I'm living by faith and I know God's going to be pleased with me, and I know He's going to reward me for this. And I know that I'm raising the shield of faith and Satan's going to be stopped. And you have to know Satan's laughing at you. Listen, I was like this for years. There are a lot of verses that I'd heard taught over and over again about prosperity and about this and about that and so on and so forth. And so, here in my mind, I'm living by faith. I'm doing everything right. But I'm not. For years I was raised to believe divine healing's not for today. So in my mind, I'm living by faith. For years I was raised to believe the gifts of the Spirit aren't for today. And I believe that. And I thought, I'm living by faith. For years I believed tongues aren't for today. And I believe that. And in my mind, I'm living by faith. When in reality, I'm not living by anything other than traditions that have assembled for me a shield of brass that can't quench the fiery darts. And then I sit back and I can't figure out, how come it seems like my life is a failure? Why do I keep having problem after problem after problem? You want some more traditions? When God's Word says, where, you know, Jesus was talking about, peace I leave with you, my peace I leave unto you. You know, not peace like the world gives. You know, I'm giving you my peace. And the Bible talks about the peace of God that passes all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the Word of God. Okay? Now, I render it of none effect by constantly complaining about worry, about depression, about not making it, constantly complain about things are miserable, and on it goes. So what I'm doing is this. The word of peace is read to me. And I sit down and listen to that. Okay, yeah, all right, I agree. But then I render it of none effect with my own traditions. The traditions that I create for myself by complaining about being miserable all the time. About complaining, I just can't take it another day. I just can't take it another day. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And the reason I'm sick and tired is because I'm sick and tired. Do you understand what I'm going through? Yeah, but Jesus said He leaves you His peace. Yeah, well, where is it? No, if you're looking to heaven for that peace, you're missing it because He said, I leave it with you. Translation, the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the new nature, that born-again spirit, part of its composition is peace. It can't worry. Your mind is the seat of worry and stress. In fact, it talks, gives you a whole list of things you're supposed to think about. Whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things have a good report, and so on and so forth, think on these things. Yeah, but everything's lousy in my life. Well, it may be lousy in your life. It doesn't say, you know, dig a hole in the sand and stick your head in it. It says, think on these things. Okay, what is good? What is lovely? What is just? What's of a good report? When everything else is lousy in life. When you don't have enough money to buy a piece of bazooka bubblegum, what are you supposed to think about? Philippians 4:19, my God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You begin to let the truth, God's Word, build that shield of faith on the inside of you. But if you keep thinking about all these other things, you know what's going to happen. We've all been there. We create our own traditions with the way we look at things. It doesn't have to be, you know, your situation in life. I've talked to people before going through marital problems.
Well, you know, it just ain't working out. I can't see how she can be that way.
Well, she can't see how you can be that way. You know how to get around that? You know how to solve your marriage problems? Here's a way. This will work every time. The Bible talks about husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Okay?
Yeah, but if you lived with her, you...
Now, hold on. It doesn't say love your wives as Christ loved the church if she deserves it. You know why? Because she deserves it. You say, well, no, wait a minute, hold on. She cheated on me, but she deserves it. Yeah, but you don't. She never cooks me dinner, but she deserves it. Yeah, but she throws things at me. She deserves it. What? But she. You know why she deserves it? Because she's your sister in Christ. And if she's not born again and she's not your sister in Christ, Jesus still died for her. I mean, it's God loves her. That's why she deserves it. It's because God loves her. He says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. He didn't say love them if they're born again. Love them if they're pretty. Love them if they're this. Love them if... He says, love them. Just love them. So, what you do is you go to God and you fess up. You say, you know what, God? I don't love her the way Christ loves the church. In fact, I'm not so sure I love her at all anymore. And God says, well, what's that thing on your finger there? And you say, well, that's the wedding ring. He says, all right. You're stuck with her. Yeah, but God, He says, now hold on. Hold on. What's the first commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? Right? So if I love Him that way, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to end up loving my wife. You with me? If I'm doing that, the Bible also talks about... We're all mature here. Where is it? Over in Proverbs, where it talks about husbands, be satisfied. Oh boy, I wish I could remember this and quote it, but it says, you know, be satisfied, you know, with the breasts of your wife, of your youth, and so forth. You say, well, gee whiz, Brother Martin, that's, how can you talk like that in church? Well, God put it in here. You know what you do? Now, listen, I'm not trying to be gross. If anybody remembers that passage, just yell it out and we'll look at it. But and don't everybody start looking. I mean, if you don't have it memorized, don't go looking for it. Here's the thing. Now, seriously, and I'm not trying to be, you know, this isn't, I'm not trying to create a rated R sermon here, all right? But what you do is you go to God and you say, God, this is what your word says. All right, now, That ain't me, all right? That situation doesn't exist. However, that is your word. Now, I want to be pleasing in your sight. Now, listen. The just are supposed to live by faith. God, that word in there about me being satisfied with her body, that word is in your word, which means I'm supposed to live by it. Therefore, help me to be satisfied with her. Even if nobody else wants to look at her, help me to be satisfied. And I say, now listen to this. Think of things that are good, good report, lovely, just, and so forth. I say I am satisfied with my wife. I don't want another woman. I'm satisfied with my wife. I know I've had some unpleasing thoughts here lately, God, but I want to be pleasing in your sight, and therefore I say in the name of Jesus, I'm satisfied with my wife. I'm satisfied with her, and I love her as Christ loved the church. Now, God, you know what I'm feeling on the inside. I'm asking you to help me in this area. Now, I'm telling you, you don't have to mean those things the way you think you need to mean those things. All you have to mean is you want to be right in the eyes of God. That's where it starts. Because God, right now, I don't feel all those things. But I'm saying I do feel those things. It's your word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. See, just supposed to live by faith. If I'm supposed to live by faith, I'm supposed to live by those verses. And I've said those. I mean, Kathy and I never had problems, but I've said those things about her. I've confessed those because I want my love to grow in her. I want to be strong on the Word. I want to be well-founded on the Word. So I've confessed those things about my own life and about our marriage. Not because there are problems, but because I'm avoiding problems. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, those are just a few examples of what this is all about. You think on these kind of things. You let your life begin to change to line up with this. Because as long as you think you're living by faith, but your faith has been built on the traditions of man, the traditions of a religious system, your own personal traditions that you come up with, you've got a brass shield and you're not quenching the fiery darts of the enemy. You're not pleasing unto God. You're not living by faith. And you're not going to get the rewards that God's promised. Guys, this is a key to understanding why a lot of Christians are struggling in their lives. It's because we're trying to develop shields of faith out of brass. We're trying to live by brass instead of gold. Because I'm telling you right now, when you take this word, this truth, and I had to go back and, you know, a lot of the things that I was taught over the years, I had to go back and study in the Word of God, and I'm telling you, it was kind of tough at times. Because some of the things that I had believed, I grabbed a hold of, and I had believed and tried to apply them to my life and tried to live by them. And I found out that they were wrong. That means all those years, I've got a shield of brass. I'm not living by faith, I'm living by traditions. And I'm not being pleasing unto God. And I thought I was. Now, does that mean that God, you know, was all mad at me? No. It just means he was looking down at me saying, Jim, I love you and I'm never going to turn my back on you, but this isn't pleasing. And he did extend grace to me because he understood, number one, I had been taught incorrectly by a lot of the scribes and Pharisees in my life. And number two, I hadn't been diligent to study to show myself approved unto God, meaning I hadn't gotten into the Word the way I should have. But if I continue to choose to live by the traditions, no matter what they are, man, I've got a shield of brass. It cannot quench the fiery darts. Oh, it'll look good. It will look shiny. It will. When I stand up and I share, I've heard people before in a Christian group setting, and they start sharing some things, like a testimony, and I'm listening to this, and the testimony they're sharing, the Word of God is completely twisted out of context. They love God. They're not in sin. They praise Him and all that. But what they're sharing, it's just way off base. And then the people in the group, they're listening. Oh, amen. Hey, praise God. Oh, boy, wasn't that good? Man, that's good stuff. I have to remember that. Praise God for that testimony. Praise God for sharing. Now, what's happened? Everybody in the bunch, they think they're looking at a shield of gold.
And they're not. But it's shiny. I know. But it contains Scripture. I know. It looks like the real thing, but it's not. I can remember one time I was in a church service. Preacher got up. He's preaching and I'm cringing. And the things he was saying, people were amening and all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh my, this is, you know, and you just, you know, you grab a hold of the seat so you don't stand up and yell, hypocrite, brood of viper. And what he was saying was so doggone good, I'm thinking, I wish this was right so I could preach it. But it wasn't right. And yet people were listening to this. And he was using so much Scripture, but he was using it incorrectly. Therefore, because the people were hearing it incorrectly, they're trying to apply it incorrectly, and they can't get a shield of gold. They're not going to end up with anything that can quench the fiery darts. And the next day, when I was at the church where these services were being held, and I got there early, and I'm listening to people talking. Boy, last night, did you hear that? Oh my goodness, that's some of the best stuff I've ever heard. And what are they doing? They're confirming to each other, they think they just got some more gold for their shield. And they didn't. All I got was brass. It was shiny. It sounded good, looked good, felt good, everything else. But it was all brass. And now listen to this. They sat there and listened to it for, I don't know how long it was, an hour, 45 minutes, whatever. They got 45 minutes of brass. And they got nothing to live by. Nothing. And they walked out of the service. Some of them went to the restaurants that night and talked about that service. Talked about that sermon. And they were talking about brass. And they went home. I'm sure some of them went home at night and laid and thought about that and meditated on that and thought their lives were going to change because of it. And yet they had absolutely nothing. Nothing. And to this day, I still remember that message. That was years ago. I still remember it. And Kathy, she probably remembers it. And I didn't even say where, when, or who it was, but she probably remembers what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, if it made that much of an impression on me, I don't know how many preachers were in that service that night, but I could pretty well guarantee that if there were preachers in there that night that grabbed a hold of it that way, their congregations heard it too. And more brass has been spread, and people think faith has come, and now they're going to be pleasing unto God. And they're not. They have absolutely nothing. Their treasury is empty. Shishak has come in and stolen the treasures of the Lord. So what's the remedy to this? The remedy is this. You got to stay in the Word of God. You have to line upon line, precept upon precept, receive it. If you hear me say anything that is new or different or causes you to want to scratch your head or maybe even would cause you to want to argue with me, at least give me the benefit of the doubt based on my track record. Okay? Now, I'm not saying I'm the best, and I'm not saying that I understand all of Scripture. I get questions now and then that I can't answer yet. I'm still growing in this. But see, I learned a long time ago how to grow, how to develop, how to study the Word of God, how to keep things in context, how to hear the voice of God, how to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And that's why I open myself up and I tell people, don't just accept what I say. Spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Get your Bible out. Follow along in Scripture. You know, get the recording of the sermon and go over it again and again. And let the Holy Spirit confirm or deny. Because listen, if I am off, and every now and then I've had somebody say, well, you know, I think you're off on such and such. But then when I take them back and I show them, it's, oh, well, okay. But if I am off, I need to know it. You know what? How dare you, if you figure out for absolute certainty that I missed it on something that I said and you don't come and tell me, shame on you. I'm serious. I would get aggravated with you. I'd love you, but I'd be aggravated with you. Because doggone it, if I'm off, I need to know it. Now, a lot of people have come with
goofy ideas about stuff. You know, I think you're wrong and here's why. It's like, why don't you use some scripture instead of, you know, what Uncle Bob said 20 years ago? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The traditions of preachers and the ones that we create for ourselves will render the Word of God of none effect. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're supposed to be living by faith. And I'm telling you right now, if the faith, if the Word of God, I'm talking the truth, if the truth, the Word of God is not poured into us, we are not going to have a shield of gold. And we're not going to be able to quench the fiery darts. Keep this in mind. One of the ways, remember, it talked about Rehoboam, he forsook the law of the Lord. One of the ways that we do that is to reject truth, to hold on to traditions. It opens the door for attack. If Rehoboam had stayed true to the Word of God, doesn't mean he would have been perfect. He just would have stayed true to what he had. Shishak would never have been able to come in, take the treasures from the house of the Lord, take the treasures from the king's house, and he wouldn't have been able to take the shields of gold. If Rehoboam, and he'd only been the king 5 years when this happened. That's not long. Stay in the Word of God. Continue to feast on the truth. And you are going to develop a shield of gold that will quench every fiery dart that Satan launches in your direction.